Breaking news today on Jay Sekulow Live. The Supreme Court in a major victory for school choice and religious liberty.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And a big victory out of the Supreme Court today, 5-4, with Chief Justice John Roberts writing the majority opinion for the court in what you'd say maybe the right way. And yeah, we talked about that yesterday. This is a school choice case, the Espinoza case. It's one we talked about on the air when we launched our school choice initiative. It just, you know, for folks out there said, well, why now? It's not something the ACLJ has obviously never been involved in. We've been involved with it for a very long time before it was something that was in fashion to even talk about, and when it was really just starting in the states across the country. And they've been working through these laws that date back on the books to the, you know, 1800s, and about whether or not states can fund religious institutions at a time or any kind of religious groups, even if you have these voucher programs, yep, where it's really supposed to be up to the parents to make that decision. And I think now we're starting to see the erosion of that idea that you can somehow distinguish between a private school that's not affiliated with a religious group and one that is.
No, this
they're
is
both nonprofits.
That's correct. And we had a case a number of years ago for Josh Davies, Davies versus Locke, or Locke v. Davies. And there the court ruled that you cannot compel a government to pay for the seminary training of a student. What's interesting about this case is, first, it limits significantly the holding in Locke v. Davie. And in fact, it says this: we've repeatedly held that the Establishment Clause is not offended when religious observers and organizations benefit from neutral government programs. See Locke versus Davie, 540 U.S. at 719. So that's great. It limited that holding and then protected the religious institutions or people that want to choose a religious school among many options for school choice. So that it's a very positive decision by Justice John Roberts. Also, Justice Sam Alito wrote a concurring opinion on which he obviously agreed that the school should, the funds could be used for religious training, religious schools. And he cites a law review article that I wrote with a colleague, Jeremy Tedesco, who was my law clerk at the time. That was part of my, actually became, it was part of my dissertation, and this was an adaption from my dissertation. For those watching on TV, we have it up on the screen. And in it, I wrote that I talked about the Philadelphia Bible riots and the anti-Catholic animus that led to what's called the Blaine Amendments, which were these anti-religious. They were aimed at Catholics, but it could have been really aimed at anybody. And Justice Alito cites my law review article. In two separate footnotes. First time that's happened. We've had our brief cited in cases. We filed a brief in the case as well. But I've never had the law review article that we wrote cited. And here it is. This is the law review article cited in a just Supreme Court decision. So we've been working on this issue, folks, for, as you can tell, the article itself is 15 years old. Okay? It was in 2005 is when it was published. We've been working on this issue for almost 30 years. 15 of it shows up in the Supreme Court decision. And I think you understand how important this issue is to us and what a significant day this is for the ACLJ and for the United States, for that matter.
It's probably since the very beginning of these programs even coming into existence. And I do think that there's, again, I think most people now understand, whereas it may have been, and we talked about this yesterday, Catholics leading the charge again with education in our country. I think at this point now, depending on where you live, what city you're in, what part of the country you're in, you've seen that the Protestants, evangelicals, I mean, it's even, we don't even have that kind of distinction amongst ourselves because there's so many distinctions within. But it's not like there's not other school choices out there, and this allows everybody to make their own. It's what we talk about. If parents are going to be able to decide what's best for their child, they should be able to consider religious schools. No one's telling them they have to go to a religious school. That's completely up to the parents. And that's what the Supreme Court is making clear. We'll take your calls, answer your questions. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live. Check out our school choice initiative at aclj.org.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. So a 5-4 decision out of the U.S. Supreme Court. Chief Justice Roberts writing the majority opinion here. And the court, it's a victory for religious liberty, but in the scheme of kind of how things are going around the country, for states who are trying to broaden out their school choice initiatives. Remember we talked about that Florida, which is not making a lot of news, but the Wall Street Journal picked up on it out of Florida. They expanded their school choice program for another 30 or 40,000 students who will be eligible for that program. And some states throughout the country have these laws on the books, and we talked about that when we launched our school choice initiative, that laws on the books that tried to prohibit having any kind of money going to religious institutions whatsoever. So if it was a religious school with any kind of affiliation whatsoever. But the target at the time was 100% on Catholic education because there was no other major religious education going on in the country. So this goes way back in our history. At a time, it was pretty bigoted law. A law that, I mean, would not stand in these days, right? I mean, there's no way laws like this would be adopted. Yet how states tried to modernize them was, we're just not going to fund any religion whatsoever. And what they've said here is, if you're going to have a program that's you can choose any school you want, including private education.
That's what it says.
You can't say, oh, that private school's okay, but the one with the priest or the one with the pastor or the one that has chapel once a week, regardless, or the Islamic school, Jewish school, go down the list, Hindu school, all the different religious groups we have, is not going to be excluded.
Well, what it says is any establishment clause, which is church-state separation, so any establishment clause objection to the scholarship program here is particularly unavailing. This is what Chief Justice Roberts said, because the government support makes its way to religious schools only as a result of Montanans independently choosing to spend their scholarships at such schools. What's also interesting, I'll get to this in a moment. I argued in the Santa Fe case, which I have not, I didn't see that in here, which was another one that didn't go our way. And we had about three of our 20 that did not go our way. And these were always tough cases. And I argued that there should be play in the joints in the Establishment Clause doctrine, which they didn't adopt there. But here they said, the religion clauses of the First Amendment provide that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. We have recognized a, quote, play in the joints between what the Establishment Clause permits and the Free Exercise Clause compels. So this is, I think I said yesterday, I don't know if we found it yet. We're looking to find it. I said, you know, we got a not so great opinion from Chief Justice Roberts yesterday, and maybe today we get a good one. I said that kind of tongue in cheek, but I think that's actually pretty true. Do we have it, Will?
Almost loaded.
Okay. All right. We'll load it in a minute.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it goes back to, again, and I think we have to question whether we're going to accept that as moving forward. It's not like you're going to do anything about the people who are on the court now. They're on the court for as long as they want to be there. But moving forward, are we going to accept this 50-50 with the other side? Let me tell you, who are the other four? You all can figure that out. Based off who nominated
them. Because they rarely break from the pack.
They don't. They have different reasons for getting there because they make up the reasons as they go. And they can't even come to agreement. But they all do agree on the outcome.
Yeah.
And outcomes matter as much to them as how you get to the outcome. And maybe more so. And with our this conservative judicial philosophy, I mean, I agree with Senator Hawley to an extent. I think we can modernize the way we have gone about this nomination process and look at who are the three people putting together the list. And maybe their track record isn't strong enough to where they're the only people that should be in. And maybe we need to ask those more direct questions. Say, if you're not going to answer them in a closed-door meeting with a U.S. senator or during your confirmation, then I'm sorry, we're going to vote no on you. And we'll just make our way through the judiciary until somebody's more clear. Because this is it infuriates the other side too. He's totally unpredictable on these matters. I mean, maybe not as much on religious liberty issues directly. And so I think but it has two huge ramifications. One, if you want to fundamentally change and not have your cities burning down and figure out kind of culturally, civically, as a country, how do we move forward? Well, if you don't improve education, so if people's life starts out already in deteriorating schools, it's like we've thrown so much money at this problem. Obviously, money's not the answer. Yeah. You can increase salaries. I don't even necessarily, it's not always the teacher's fault. Sometimes it can be that there's just not the resources. How many trailers do you see outside of public schools? Go to a private school. How many trailers will you see? You know, it's a lot less.
But the idea, you know, some people say, well, this is going to hurt the public schools, which we've written about that. That's completely false. And I want to reiterate.
They always get grants.
I want to reiterate something. Yeah, I want to reiterate something here. I think this is one of the civil rights issues of our time. And it is one of the civil rights issues of our time because, and this is important to understand, it evens the playing field so that parents that don't have the resources to send their kids to the private school of their choice, if that's what they want to do, or a charter school, have the ability now to do that. How that hurts education, I don't see it. And we've written about that. But I think giving this equal opportunity grant, which is what it really is, I think bodes well for the future. And I think the Supreme Court got it right as it relates to religious schools. But more importantly than that, it got it right as it relates to parents having that fundamental choice, which is something that we at the ACLJ think is a civil rights issue. The right to an equal and good education. We've been talking about equal equality and equal education since Brown versus Board of Education in 1954. Well, now in 2020, we actually have a mechanism upon which we can do it. And now, today, the Supreme Court cleared the way so that all schools could be included within that parameter, including schools that have a religious affiliation. So I think this is a really good decision. Chief Justice Roberts wrote, I think Justice Alito's concurrence, obviously I'm biased since he's citing my law review article twice, is very, very good. I think we have I said it yesterday. I said we got, you know, the decision from John Roberts yesterday, the Chief Justice, I thought was wrong on the June Medical Center. I thought that it was odd because 3 years ago he said that the statute was a strike in a good way. I mean, it was like, it was right down, the court got it wrong, and they, you know, they called it a ball, and it was a strike. That statute was constitutional.
Yeah.
3 years later, that same pitch is a ball. I thought he got that wrong, and he used sorry decisis on a decision that's 36 months old. It doesn't make sense. He's the Chief Justice. He gets to make the decision. But I did say this yesterday. And look, there's some other decisions coming that, you know, we may be pleased about Justice Roberts' decisions. I don't know. Well, I do know now. And this was a good decision. Now, there's more coming. He's written a lot in the last couple of days, two big ones, and then the DACA the week before. So, you know, how many more he's writing, I don't know. But we're still waiting for the president's cases, but those, I expect those are probably going to be coming next week.
Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of folks kind of wondering about these cases, kind of how this is coming out, because they're not there. And they're throwing some throwback footage to when people were at the Supreme Court, but that was the wintertime. Now it's summer. And so, but they're still kind of going through a slow process when they dump the opinion.
It's not like they're all up at the same time. They load one, and then about 10 minutes later, they load another one. They did three yesterday, two today. I think they've got seven or eight. Yeah, but one of the seven is one of ours, which has another case to it. So we have three. So it's really eight cases, seven opinions will be coming out. And could they do them all on Thursday? I guess they could. Not likely.
Yeah. So
probably goes into next week.
Yeah. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us now. That's 1-800-684-3110. You know, I saw comments too from folks on Facebook, and they're writing in. They're saying things like, either I wish I had these opportunities with my kids, or we do have these opportunities in our school. And because of that, the public schools have gotten so good, they have waiting lists. Public schools have waiting lists to get into.
Yep.
Like multiple public schools within the same district.
Right.
Have waiting lists because this has improved. Everyone's had to up their game to the level. And so if you live in a state that's had significant success with these programs, or one that's done it on a wide scale, if you happen to be in one of the places that has benefited the most from it, I don't think you can tell as much of a difference between the public school and the private school. They actually kind of look the same, and the opportunities are kind of the same, and the test scores end up being the same. The teachers are very similar. Resources available to the student are similar. But we all know in the toughest neighborhoods in the country, it does not matter how much money you throw at a problem if you don't have, again, the wherewithal to it's not just all about dollars and cents. Let's put it that way. I mean, the teachers, you look at the kind of money that's spent on per student even. Private schools do it for a lot less, but it costs more money. And this will open the door too. It also makes the private schools, it makes all the education more competitive because it actually makes the parents involved. It gets parents who might not have been involved at all and just kind of think of school as daycare into having to make decisions about where resources are spent. And every parent, regardless of their income, regardless of their background, if they actually have a chance to get involved, the involvement rates go up, 80-90%. It's amazing to see what these kind of decisions and giving this kind of choice to parents will do. We'll continue to discuss it on Jay Sekulow Live and take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. I think this has bigger ramifications too. I think saying that you can't differentiate between religious and non-religious, you can take that to a lot of other potential issues as well. And these states are going to have a tough time trying to make that distinction anymore. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. I want to go right to the phones. Ed White is joining us, too, from the ACLJ. But Rick's got a great call. He's out of Montana online, too. So this is a direct effect. Rick, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys, for taking my call. You know, you make me proud that you guys are doing all this fighting for us, even in Montana. To have something local like that come through the byways is just amazing. But anyway, my question is, does this possibly open the door for using school vouchers or even tax monies towards the Christian schools that we might want to go to?
Yeah, so here's the thing. If there's a voucher program in Montana or in your county where you live or a district where you live, the fact is they cannot discriminate. In other words, they cannot deny utilization of that voucher fund for parents that make the decision to send their school kids to a religiously affiliated school. So faith-based schools cannot be excluded from an otherwise neutral program. This is a really big decision in two contexts. Number one, there was a case that we were involved in, Locke versus Davy, I argued it, where the court went kind of the other way on this. And then over time, they've been backing down. But now they've really cabined that opinion, which is, by the way, what we asked for in our brief. In fact, I'll read you what we said, Rick, in our brief. We actually asserted, because we knew the Locke versus Davy case would be coming up. We said, argument two, Locke versus Davy provides no solid footing for a contrary result. And in fact, Chief Justice Roberts not only obviously agreed with that position, which was important, he also noted that we, quote, have repeatedly held that the Establishment Clause is not offended when religious observers and organizations benefit from neutral government programs. And he cited Locke versus Davy. And then, as I said, Justice Alito cited an article that was an adaptation from my PhD dissertation, a law review article that I published in Pepperdine Law Review with a colleague of mine who was in my law clerk, Jeremy Tedesco. He's now with the ADF. And we wrote this 15 years ago. So this is an issue, Rick, we've been involved in for literally three decades. And now, three decades worth of work, we're seeing the fruition of this, the good come out of this. But yes, it knocks down those exclusions, which is something I've been arguing for under an equal access for since 1987. And here we are in 2020, and we're seeing that result. But as Jordan said, and I know he's going to underscore, it was 5-4. Yeah, Could not have been any closer.
5-4, and on the other side of the aisle, where it's much more outcome-based, everyone knew that. There was literally probably no question in anyone's mind about where those four justices would go. There were questions about where John Roberts, I mean, no one had any idea. You realize that? I look at these analysts, they don't even try to predict John Roberts.
All right, so we've got Ed White. Ed, give me it was a senior counsel for the ACLJ. Give me your reaction to this.
It is a very good decision today, especially since it addressed the Blaine Amendments, which have been a headache for religious freedom for well over 100 years. And so based upon this decision, the Blaine Amendments, which are in 37 states, should start falling by the wayside, which would allow states to have the option that if they do want to now subsidize private education, they can no longer exclude religious education.
You know, I've written about these Blaine Amendments. They were, and it was anti-Catholic bigotry in the 1850s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. And I wrote in my, probably 30 or 40 pages of my dissertation dealt with the Blaine Amendment. And the Law Review article that we talk about is called The Story Behind Vidal versus Girard's Executors is about that. It's the subtitle of my article was Joseph's Story, the Philadelphia Riot, Bible Riots, and Religious Liberty. But the Blaine Amendments, Ed, have been an impediment to religious liberty for literally 150 years.
Almost definitely. So here in my home state of Michigan, we probably had have the most restrictive of the Blaine Amendments. And as a result, there's no school voucher program, tax credit program. And it does go back to back in the mid-1800s when you had, after the potato famine in particular, a lot of Irish Catholics, German Catholics were coming to this country. There was a prejudice against them. They, Blaine in particular, who was a congressman, I think he was the Speaker of the House back in the 1870s in particular, did not want to have any Catholic influence in the country, in particular with schooling. And so that's why these amendments went into place. They tried to become an amendment to the federal constitution. It failed, but then 37 states have adopted them. And I think over time, the amendments may no longer have that Catholic, anti-Catholic, or anti-even, there was concerns about Jewish schools. It became more than a union issue because the public school systems are run by that teachers' union. They have a lot of control, and they do not want any money going away from them to go to religious schools.
You know,
so I think it kind of has changed.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Look, initially it was clearly anti-Catholic bigotry, but what happened here, and I think this is what's so fascinating about this, was it became faith-based institutions or schools, period. Jewish schools, Protestant schools, evangelical schools, charismatic schools, Catholic schools, Muslim schools, whatever. Was the amendment originally designed as a form of anti-Catholic bigotry was then morphed into an anti-religious bigotry. And the Supreme Court today, again, by the narrowest of margins, but still a win. And if John Roberts is right on stare decisis, which he thought he was yesterday, 5-4, that should not change. But, you know, I mentioned, Ed, last question for you. This issue of school choice, we're looking at as a civil rights issue. This is important for people that don't have the resources to send their kids to private school.
Most definitely. So even in this Montana situation, I think the tax credit was only at maybe $150. So, and that was important to these people who wanted to use that tax credit. So this is an important issue because especially in inner cities where the education system, for example, Detroit, Miami, other places around the country are not very good. Parents who do not have the means should have the option to, from a voucher system in particular, to allow them to send their child to a charter school, a private school, a school maybe outside of the district, so that their child has an opportunity to get a quality education, become a productive member of society. So it is a civil rights issue, but it's an issue in particular that go to people who cannot afford private education.
All right, Ed White, senior counsel for the ACLJ. Thanks for being with us, Ed. Thanks for your insights.
All right, folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls, too. Second half hour is coming up at Jay Sekulow Live at 1-800-684-3110. If you've got questions, comments, listen, I know it's been a confusing time for folks. They've been pretty angry with the Supreme Court for the last couple of weeks, and then you get a case like this. But I think this court has been, with this makeup, it's been pretty good with the religious liberty. I mean, yes. Closest of margins. You lose one justice the other way, and it's 5-4 the other way.
Joe
Biden picks the next Supreme Court justice, this case gets overturned.
It could, depending on who that justice is, it could very well. So here's what's interesting is on the religious liberties issues, Justice Gorsuch and Justice Roberts, Chief Justice Roberts, have been very good. So again, it's kind of issue specific, but as Jordan said, you see in the next election, things could change rather drastically. We don't have time to do it now. When we get back, I want to talk a little bit more about the kind of the history of this case, and then I think Logan's going to join us as well. So that'll be great. We'll be back in a moment. But go ahead, Jordan. Support the work of the ACLJ as we get ready to take this break, especially last day of the month here.
Yeah, ACLJ.org. You can donate online and support our work at the American Center for Law and Justice. So when we launch something like the School Choice Initiative, it's a doubling of our efforts that we've already been working on, but to do it in a more public way, garnering the grassroots support as well. So if you believe that we do it like we do, that this is the civil rights issue of our time, this is how people are able to improve where they are in the country and utilize the system of government that we have in the United States and the economy that we have in the United States. You understand how important school choice is. ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on the air, that's 1-800-684-3110. So, in a sense, in these kind of religious liberty decisions, it's not so specific to Montana. Obviously, we had a caller right out of Montana who said, well, this opened the door to us. Yes. But it also opens the door to everybody everywhere that these programs exist. It's a Supreme Court decision. So you might have to litigate at the lower courts, but you won't have to take it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court if you get it, you know, panel at least acknowledges where the Supreme Court is, which is very clear under this court for right now. These distinctions trying to say, well, you can go to any school you want as long as they're not affiliated with religious groups. And that includes private schools in a lot of these programs, by the way.
Yep.
And some are states were having to adopt this because that's what the laws on the books said to do. And they've said that for 160 years.
Yep.
No problem with precedent there, by the way.
Right.
Overruling 160 years worth of law.
Yeah, so the Blaine Amendments, what happened here is you've got a situation where Montana, like many states, adopts a program where they give credits or vouchers or funding to parents to send the kids to the school of their choice. But in Montana, they specifically excluded faith-based schools, religious schools. That was challenged. Now, I'd had a similar case called Locke versus Davy. I talked about that earlier, where the court ruled against our position saying that those voucher funds should be able to be used for there was seminary training. In our brief to the Supreme Court, we said, hey, Locke versus Davy, actually, if you look at it, even with the parts we disagree with, support the idea of neutrality in vouchers. And in fact, Chief Justice Roberts wrote that we have repeatedly held that the Establishment Clause is not offended when religious observers and organizations benefit from neutral government programs, and they cited Locke versus Davy. Also, Justice, we wrote about this 15 years ago, and working on this for a lot longer than that, in a law review article that we published in Pepperdine that I wrote with a colleague, Jeremy Tedesco, and it was called The Story Behind Vidal versus Gerard's Executors, Joseph's Story, the Philadelphia Bible Riots, and Religious Liberty. It was an adaptation of a couple of chapters of my PhD dissertation. Well, Justice Alito cited this law review article, which showed the religious hostility. Then it was aimed at Catholics. Now they're using it against everybody. Cited the law review article for the historical context. Then at the oral argument, the issue of Locke versus Davy came up, and the lawyer representing the parents said, now, wait a minute, Locke actually supports the position. Take a listen.
Respondents argue in the alternative that Locke allows them to exclude the religious schools and that this case falls within the play in the joints. But that would allow the exception to swallow the rule. As Trinity Lutheran made clear, the rule is religious neutrality and Locke only a narrow exception. We argue that Locke is the exception that proves the rule.
And that's exactly, by the way, what the Supreme Court of the United States held by, again, slim majority, 5-4. But this has been something we've been working on. Logan's joining us in the studio now. We've been working on this, folks, for 30 years. You saw 15 years of it ago. They're citing law review articles from 2005.
Yeah, I mean, I think for a lot of people, 2005 seems like it was maybe 30 more years recently. Ago. No, I'm saying more recent than it is when you hear those numbers, but you're talking about something 15 years ago at this point. So
yeah.
It's pretty impressive to see, as we started the School Choice Initiative, to really start cracking down to figure out what the plan could be for kids moving forward, for students that are currently students. I think that's what's really important as we head into this just last minute. We'll get to it. We're going to air some of this on my show in the Logan Sekulow Reprogram.
Yep.
Because I think it's important for people to understand that this could affect kids that are currently in school.
Yes.
And that's what we're working for. I think a lot of people, especially on the left, like to forecast and go, well, what if it hurts kids 20 years from now? Well, we'll get to that. You know, and someone said once came to me and said, this is just a Band-Aid. And it's like, okay, well, Band-Aid helps heal. Like, let's start with something and move forward. Like, let's get kids, because you're going to say, this current generation, well, sorry, you lived through a pandemic, you lived through riots in the streets, you've lived through all these things. Yeah, you're lost already. We're not going to do that.
I just say, who's more important, teachers or students?
Exactly.
The teachers are not. You know, they don't take the part. They're not minors. They're not the kids. They're the adults. It's their job. If they're bad at it, they should get fired. If their school is bad, and if their students do bad on tests, they should lose their job if they've been teaching 30 years or 3 months. And those protections are absurd, and it's why they know they will ultimately no longer exist. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Secchio Live. We are taking your phone calls 1-800-684-3110. Maureen's calling in from California on line two. Maureen, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Thank you. Hey, I wanted just to share my concern with school vouchers. You know, living in California, it's very liberal here. And my concern with a voucher is that if you're sending state money to a private school or even homeschooling, because I'm a homeschooling parent, then the state is going to be able to step in and tell you what you can and can't
teach. Here's the difference, Maureen. You would actually, I'm jumping in because I want to answer this for homeschool parents too. Under many of these programs in states, if you are a parent that's able to do that and you want to do that, you don't have to, but again, if you want to, now you'd have the resources, Maureen.
You'd get $150.
You'd get the money, you get the resources. You'd get, and in some states, you might get a lot more than that. You might get the entire, all of your textbooks paid for and all of the programming you do paid for, where you choose to spend it. So the state has lost power today. They've lost the ability to make distinctions. I don't think we can all be so, we need to all stop and think for a moment here. We have nonprofit status, the ACLJ. The government grants that at the federal level and state level. So you have to remember that your church, the reason why it's able to do more with less is because of that. Now, so do public schools. Public schools don't pay taxes either. So, I mean, public school, private school, people's salaries obviously do, but the school itself doesn't. So they're not being treated any differently. They're getting this, and they're getting more under every one of these plans that has been put forward. Florida's being the most expansive still in the country, I believe so. Every time they ratchet it up, they allot another chunk, huge chunk. I think this last time around it was $500 million into public schools.
Yeah, so this is really benefiting.
And they're still very targeted programs.
This is benefiting homeschools, private schools, private affiliated religious schools. It's not hurting the public schools. This is decisions that are made. So that seems to always be the fallacy, but it's really a, we've looked at it, Logan, as a civil rights issue.
Yeah, absolutely. At the ACLJ, I think this is a new, not a new topic for us, but a new initiative for us as we see it as an issue. Look, we understand it's not as, you know, as fun to look at as some of the stuff we put up because it is legislative. It is a little bit more on the legal side. And we're talking about something that maybe is a little harder to understand how it all works. Jordan wrote a great blog. You can find it on aclj.org that just kind of explains it in you know, layman's terms. And someone who I can read it now understand what we're talking about on what school choice is and how it works. And look, you're seeing a lot of people, especially this year, after coming out of the weirdest quarter of a lot of your kids' lives when it comes to schooling, moving to homeschooling. And I think you're going to see a big uptick in homeschooling this coming fall, even if it's not mandated by your area, because people have realized, oh, this is something I can do or something my kid benefits from.
Or they may have to.
Or they may have to, but they have to. A lot of those could be run by, you know, public and private schools. Well, they're going to provide you information. But a lot of people, I think, are going to go, well, why would I do that? I'll do it myself.
So here's another aspect of that. That's a very good point, and it goes to what Jordan, what both of you are saying. So let's assume, for the sake of argument, hopefully this is not the case, but in your community in the fall, they decide, because of the pandemic situation, they cannot open up the schools fully, or they open up the schools and there's restrictions in place that parents aren't comfortable with.
Yeah.
So the state says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to provide a voucher so that parents that decide that they are going to use internet-based homeschooling learning as an option can buy, Jordan, as you said to that caller, books, materials that they need. And we're not going to exclude from that curriculums that are put out by faith-based groups, faith-based educators. That's what this decision says.
Yeah, and so you're getting more power. You have to realize when the government loses, whether it's a state government or the federal government, who is usually winning? Usually, if it's an issue versus, see, we thought our policy's right, your policy's wrong. That's what this was the setup here. Or does the Constitution protect something bigger? What does that mean for you? That means you're getting more power as a taxpayer. And by the way, I will say, too, for these, even in the states with the most expansive school choice programs, everyone doesn't get it. If you live in the wealthiest zip codes, those are probably not going to get, you know, they're not at the top of the list. So for those of you who say, well, I don't want the government involved at all, if you're even thinking like that, so if you've gotten past the point where if you have time to homeschool your kids and be able to even afford that, then you are not the target demographic for what these school choice programs are trying to assist. Now, some have been expanded to the middle class, but most are talking about people who could not afford even maybe a few thousand dollars fall and spring for a private education.
And this is an issue, like we said, we've taken on because we've seen what's going on in the world, and we're not going to pretend stuff isn't happening, that there aren't protests in the streets, that there weren't riots happening. And you have to look at it and go, okay, what are issues that we can, you know, with our good conscience, get involved in? And this is one that I feel like you can. Sure, if you know, one side says defund the police, obviously that's going to turn off a lot of people who listen to this show, including myself. You take it too far. Now, how can we actually do something, though, that's still proactive? Because we all want the same goal. If the goal is to have
everybody to shout out defund the police, send them all to public school, because that's what the teacher unions are going to be pushing on them.
Oh, yeah.
They will. We have seen what this generation who went through this education system. We all talked about how bad the colleges were, universities, but a lot of that, by the time you've lost them to there, 18 years of indoctrination. And we've allowed it at the state level by unions.
There's nothing,
what do you think unions are going to support? The left, the radical
left. But there's nothing in this opinion, and there's nothing in the legislation, that harms public education.
No.
And let me give you to the contrary here. It says this: the prohibition before us today burns not only religious schools, but also families whose children attend or hope to attend them. Drawing on, this is Justice Roberts, enduring American traditions, we have long recognized the rights of parents to direct the religious upbringing of their children, but the no-aid provision penalizes that decision by cutting families off from otherwise available benefits if they chose a religious private school rather than a secular one, and for no other reason. So what the Supreme Court did here, Logan, was put everything on an equal playing field.
Absolutely.
And it provides then for those that can't afford it the options, not only for private school or homeschooling, if that's what they choose, but also for faith-based inclusion.
Well, I think that's what we've been asking for. And I think maybe just due to the ACLJ and what we do, obviously a lot of it has been focused on religious schools. But with the new school choice initiative, we're broadening that to say no. And I think you've seen that as people have maybe become even, I was hoping this wasn't going to be a 5-4, as people have become more libertarian in their views and saying, you know, we're not necessarily as, you know, we understand some people believe this way, some people believe that way. Maybe as a society, we're a little bit more, hey, just leave us alone, let us do how we want to do. But the 5-4 makes you feel like, no, maybe we're not there yet. But at least the decision itself says, yes, not only are religious schools, but for us in the School Choice Initiative at the ACLJ, we are saying all schools, public, if it's charter in your area, private schools, homeschooling, religious schools, just even the playing field. And I think if you're truly at this point a someone who considers themselves at least a conservative in some sense, you'd be at least okay with this. I know a lot of people have commented. Some people are just concerned about the public schooling system in general, like Jordan said. That's maybe where you see people who are back up. There's two sides. Is this going to destroy the public school system? And no. The other side is they want the public school system to be completely reformed.
Nothing's going away overnight. So, I mean, I don't think that in your lifetime, I don't think in my lifetime I would see the end of the public school system. No. But I tell you, really long term is either they're going to have to change significantly to ever compete in this, or they will not be there. But we're talking, that could be 50, 60, it could be 80 years.
It forces people to step up.
It does.
Here's it will change how you think about education forever if these programs are expanded nationwide, which I think we're on the cusp of.
Maybe where you're almost forced.
Where you're just in the zip code and you're like, well, this is what we have to live with. When you don't just have to live with it, or you're not buying a house, I mean, think about it even for property. If you're not buying a house knowing you are going to be dictated by your school zone. I mean, that's the reason why when you look up to purchase a house in real estate, what's like the third thing that pops up? It's like square footage, you know, how many bathrooms, and then what schools you're in. Because you know that that's something that people are bound by.
You're excluded. Yeah, you're bound by it. I mean, you're bound by, you know, how you are brought up is based off what zip code you can afford.
In my backyard is, if you legit, like at the line of my backyard, it goes from where I live in a good school zone to in my backyard. Like, we're not talking about like
a metro city school.
You're talking about a school that drops significantly.
And probably 60%.
It's like if on the rankings of the score rankings, it goes from like an 8 to like a 3. And you're talking about the only difference is, you know, I can reach over and be in the other school zone.
I had trouble getting my driver's license put in the right in the right county. Now, let me two things from the opinion that I think are important to point out. A state need not subsidize private education. So they're not saying you have to do it, states, although a lot of states are going to do that, which is good. But once a state decides to do so, it cannot disqualify some private schools solely because they are religious. Then the court said that the supreme law of the land condemns discrimination against religious schools and the families who choose to attend them. They are members of the community, too, and their exclusion from the scholarship program here is odious to our Constitution and cannot stand.
Yeah, I think that when you look at this, there are plenty of schools. And again, this also depends on like where you've grown up, if you're listening to this broadcast, or how much time you've spent living in an urban area versus a suburban area and maybe even exurban area, you know? So how rural or urban your environment has been. But I've lived in both. And I will tell you, in these urban areas, there are a lot more private schools than you think, and 90% are religiously affiliated. I mean, and they're a lot more affordable than people would think, too. They are not like them necessarily like, it's not like there's three major private schools and that's all there is in the city. I mean, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of private education opportunities, most of them affiliated with a church that's connected. Does that mean that's all the students learn? No. And is anybody forcing any parent in that district to send their kid there if they don't? No. They don't have to even consider. You don't have to consider it if you're a parent. If you don't want your kid to go to a specific school because of the religious affiliation, you know more about it because you're in the community. You know if you like that church or not, or that pastor or not, or what the theology is there. So you're actually in the best situation to make a decision. Go to aclj.org, learn about the School Choice Initiative.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We'll take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. A lot of calls coming in now. So we'll get to those in just a minute.
Logan wants to talk about his program.
And yeah, I need to get my plugs in. We talk about school choice.
You're actually showing this on your program.
Yeah, we're going to play this segment on the Logan Sekulow Reprogram, my radio show and podcast. Here's the main thing. Also, we have launched a video only. The set may look very familiar, and it's available on youtube.com/Logan Sekulow Reprogram, or just type in Logan Sekulow and you should subscribe to my page. We don't really talk about that. We don't promote YouTube a lot, but I'm on there each and every day putting up new video content. You can watch our show. It has some similar topics we talk about here. We do dive into politics a little bit, and then it's a little bit more outlandish and it's a little bit more crazy. So that show is actually typically a morning show, but next week the Logan Sekulow Reprogram moves to evenings. And we're going to be dropping new episodes for your evening drive.
So you don't have to do it at 5 in the morning?
So don't do it at 5 in the morning anymore, because we are available on the radio in Orlando and also on Long Island, on Long Island News Radio.
Both places we have connections
to. I like it. But mainly we're focusing on, if you listen on a podcast, you can find it on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. But I'm really trying to grow our YouTube channel, because YouTube is where people are at, especially younger people. I think YouTube is really important for you guys to check out what we're doing over there. I put all my shows up there.
So where would you go on YouTube? Where would you go?
You either just type in Logan Sekulow in the search bar. You'll see there's a channel that's just called Logan Sekulow. Click subscribe. Or just go directly to youtube.com/Logan Sekulow Reprogram. We did a whole episode on school choice about 3 days ago, and it's up right now, 4 days ago. And also had Michael Sweet from Striper on, which that was a segment from here. And then today we dove into the show. It was about the Washington Post article that was a little maybe misleading. We did a little fake Newsday Tuesdays on the Logan Sekulow Reprogram. So you can find that again. There, you can also go directly to LoganSekulowReprogram.com.
So I see the podcast is up in it, and I do see it. I see the...
It's a good time. We have a really good time. It's a fun listen, and I hope you enjoy it. But we did dive pretty deep into the school choice initiative, because something I'm very passionate about.
You get good guests.
And we do have good guests on. We have guests from all over either the political world or the entertainment world. It's a lot of fun. We've had John Rich. We've had on the heads of Gatorland, all things in between. You know, so it's a lot of fun. But we do dive usually about once or twice a week. We go into what's going on in the world of the ACLJ, especially when it's something like this that should be universally accepted. You know, I see a lot of my friends who are really into the whole movement that's happening right now. And I appreciate them, and I support most of what they do. Not necessarily the organizations behind it, but the fact that they're wanting to see change. See, a lot of the people in the church are really excited to see, hopefully, you know, to help racial tensions and what's going on. You know, a couple of days ago, we saw Mississippi. They decided we're going to remove the Confederate flag from there. That's great, however you feel about that. But here's the deal. Here's something, and when I see people sharing that, but I don't see people sharing stuff like what we're doing with the School Choice Initiative, it feels like, you know, fake work. It feels like you're like, yay, we took down a flag. Great. I got no problem with that. But what I do have a problem is when you actually won't do the work to help kids who...
Because that's not going to affect a kid academically. It affects emotionally.
It's mentally, emotionally. But this is actually something you can do right now. We could go in there and stop what's happening and start going to the root of some of these issues, and that is in some of these low and you know, even some of the middle class underperforming schools. I mean, they really are underperforming schools, and give people the option. Because if you give people the option, then what's going to happen is, because some people have said, you know, maybe could that hurt the public school system at that point? No, what I think at that point will happen is that public school is going to have to start competing. You're going to have to start really reevaluating what tenure looks like. You're going to have to start really evaluating what all of these things are, which are holding kids back and are causing problems.
I mean, it's like this. I just said, there's no way you can support charter schools, which has got, I think, actually more legal issues. When you actually look at how they're set up, they can be for-profit, they can be these entities, and they get totally exempt from all of those union rules, but they're 100% funded by taxpayers. And yet you can't have, now sometimes they're run by nonprofits, sometimes there's more money put in by the community than just the taxes, obviously, to get them built and get them organized. But I mean, they get taxpayer funding 100%. They get treated like a public school without being treated like one. This is a situation where I think I think, finally catching up with reality on the ground. Let's go to Marie in North Dakota on line two. Marie, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm just wondering, how do we ensure this victory for school choice is implemented in our state? Or how do we make sure that
You're doing right now, Marie, you're doing a feasibility study. So your state legislature has passed a House bill. So now the state Senate is now also looking at that as well. So they're looking at kind of how broad to go. In North Dakota, every state's different. So in North Dakota, there's 8 private schools. I mean, there's 8 because of where the population centers are and things like that. So in some cities, in some municipalities, you could have triple that in one zip code. Triple, maybe quadruple. Yeah, some of these places in like Washington, D.C. or New York, you could have 30, 40 plus in a zip code.
But these are state initiatives. So let's be clear on something here.
State.
There is nothing in the opinion that requires a state to do this. It's if the states elect to do it or the county elects to have these funds available, it makes it available to the people that qualify. And it gives those people, as Logan was saying, that qualify the ultimate freedom of choice to decide what they're going to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is so important, and it's being overlooked, and you are seeing it start to happen. Look, today was a huge, hopefully, what you had hoped is today's decision becomes a huge part of the news cycle, but truthfully, we know
it will not.
It's not going to be part of the narrative. Because it's not part of the cultural narrative in news media, 24-hour news media, that this is going to become a 30-second story on some of these things. Now, it's for our job, it's to now, especially as the media side of the ACLJ, to still blow the doors down and let people know that this is happening. It's right for us to text our friends over at all the news outlets and say, you need to be covering this. You need to be talking about this. This is a big deal. And like you said, if this is an issue and you're worried about civil rights, this is an issue that you really need to look at, because it's something that I think a lot of people look at and go, I don't feel like I can do anything. Well, here's something you can do for the kids that are going to be the next generation, and that's very important.
Here's what Harry Hutchinson said, our director of policy. I think it was just last week on the broadcast. We've been working. This is, by the way, Logan and Jordan have been dealing with this on the air for the last 2 weeks. But let me tell you how long we've been working on this. Way before 2005, when this article was written, we've been working on this for 30 years. So we're happy with this decision. But here's what Professor Hutchinson said.
Notwithstanding the fact that per capita expenditures on education in the United States exceed every single country in the world, our performance lags in part because there's a negative correlation between increasing public school funding and actual performance because we are not focused on students.
That is the key, not student focused. And these putting the decision back in the hands of the parents will make it student focused.
If you're not a good teacher, you won't you won't even get past the first round at a private school. You're not even going to become a teacher if that's what you're trying to do.
Why don't we try to get? Oh, we just lost Amy.
Yeah, I mean they won't even hire you. They won't even consider you.
She was a public school teacher and she said she was in favor of it.
Yeah, I think fair people who did not become totally unionized and realize what was happening there. When I was looking up North Dakota. Okay, this is a small state that could, population-wise, it could handle doing any programs they want financially. And yet, it was teachers' unions and a Republican majority in the House and the state Senate there that decided no. Now, are people going to, in North Dakota, not vote for someone because of their vote on that? Maybe not. But if you actually read who was supporting this, you want, in a state like North Dakota, pro-abortion, Planned Parenthood-endorsing teachers' unions running your kid's school. Because the same women who work at Planned Parenthood run those teachers' unions. I will tell you that. Same people running that are the same interest groups on the ground. And a lot of times, they're the same lobbyists, actually. So that's why I mean, the people they hire, I bet in North Dakota, are the same people running your maybe one abortion clinic that still exists in Bismarck.
All right, Logan, your program.
Yeah, Logan Secular Reprogram. You can find also our Facebook page and Facebook group. Join it. It's a lot of fun. LoganSecularReprogram.com. Also, Logan Secular Reprogram on YouTube. Check out the School Choice Initiative.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.